the Union was designed to absorb differences among the states, but it could only do that if the central government handled the general concerns of the states. Compromise was essential, and no one section was supposed to dominate the government. When that did happen, and it did almost immediately after the Constitution was ratified, secession was openly discussed. It was the impending threat of disunion in 1787 that forced many reluctant delegates at both the Philadelphia and state ratifying conventions to support the Constitution and swallow the pill of compromise in the first place. Edmund Randolph wrote in 1787, "Our very quiet depends upon the duration of the Union. Among the upright and intelligent, few can read without emotion the future fate of the states, if severed from each other." Madison, in Federalist No. 41, said that if disunion occurred, it will present liberty everywhere crushed between standing armies and perpetual taxes. The fortunes of disunited America will be even more disastrous than those of Europe. Thus, every man who loves peace, every man who loves his country, every man who loves liberty, ought to have it ever before his eyes that he may cherish in his heart a due attachment to the Union of America and be able to set a due value on the means of preserving it. This was the common argument. If disunion should occur, the result would be constant wars, tyrannical despots, and high taxes. Not everyone in the founding generation, however, recoiled at the prospect of separate confederacies or believed that the only way to avoid war, taxes, and tyranny was to adopt the Constitution. Most opponents, in fact, thought the Constitution and centralization would produce these evils, not prevent them. Before the Philadelphia Convention met in 1787, an opinion piece published in the New York Daily Advertiser under the pen name Reason asked, "Instead of attempting one general government for the whole community of the United States, would it not be preferable to distribute the states into three republics, who should enter into a perpetual league or alliance for mutual defense?" Just days later, Lycurgus responded in the same paper that all political writers of eminence agree that a republic should not comprehend a large territory. Lycurgus advocated dividing the continent into four republics based on climate and geography. The religion, manners, customs, exports, imports, and general interest of each being then the same, no opposition arising from differences in these would any longer divide their councils. Unanimity would render us secure at home and respected abroad, and promote agriculture, manufactures, and commerce. Luther Martin remarked during the Philadelphia Convention that he had rather see partial confederacies take place than the plan on the table. Brutus argued that the United States should never be one government. The United States includes a variety of climates. The productions of the different parts of the Union are very variant, and their interests, of consequence, diverse. Their manners and habits differ as much as their climates and productions, and their sentiments are by no means coincident. The laws and customs of the several states are, in many respects, very diverse, and in some opposite. Each would be in favor of its own interests and customs, and of consequence a legislature, formed of representatives from the respective parts, would not only be too numerous to act with any care or decision, but would be composed of such heterogeneous and discordant principles as would continually be contending with each other. The only way to avoid this, Brutus thought, was to avoid adopting the Constitution and maintain the 13 confederated republics of the United States.